Let's bounce across to the United States. Our correspondent, Jimena Bustillo, is with us from NPR Politics, based in Washington. Kia ora. Thanks for being with us, Jimena.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let's talk a little bit, first of all, about the United States avoiding that default.
Yeah, that was something that every time I came on, I think for a couple months, we were talking about the concern that we were going to default on our loans. Actually, today, June 5th, was the day that the Treasury Department had estimated we would default on our loans if Congress did not pass a bill raising the debt limit and also imposing some sort of future budgetary cuts to extend that debt limits longevity. What we saw last week was that the House and the Senate was able to come to a deal along with the president, and they very quickly streamlined that through. President Joe Biden actually signed that bill on June 3rd, you know, just over the weekend and 2 days before we were set to default on our loans, which would have led to massive economic catastrophe. It would have been our first ever national default on our loans, arguably, which would have sent also very bad signal internationally, and also would have left a lot of people in limbo in terms of their benefits, in terms of their interest rates. It would have been catastrophic. However, that did not happen. For now, we have averted the crisis, and we have a couple different things. We have at least punted this problem down until 2025. So if we're still talking around end of 2024, beginning of 2025, we might be having this conversation again. But for now, no need to worry about it. Some of the biggest wins to come out of this deal was permitting reform, so making it easier to streamline clean energy as well as infrastructure projects and the environmental reviews to be able to build those. We saw work requirements change for food stamps, which is the United States' biggest food assistance nutrition program. It serves over 40 million people. Republicans wanted to impose more work requirements, but Democrats also won in taking some away. So we saw a little bit of a compromise there. So there definitely were other things attached to this that arguably could decrease spending or decrease any sort of like government expenses, but we're kind of tacked on to this as the larger attempt to address the debt limit.
Can either side, the Democrats or the Republicans, see this particularly as a win?
You know, both are kind of trying to argue it as a win. You know, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has said when asked by his colleagues, what did the Democrats get? He literally says they got nothing. But at the same time, Joe Biden is standing firm that he also didn't fold over and didn't compromise. And he's able to tout some wins. For example, Republicans wanted to claw back a lot of the Inflation Reduction Act money. That was Joe Biden's really big prescription drug and climate bill. They wanted to take a lot of that money back. Joe Biden was able to have them not do that. And as I mentioned earlier, there were a couple areas of high contention, like permitting reform and work requirements, where we actually saw a policy that I think at the end of the day, Republicans and Democrats both didn't know whether to support or not support, because it wasn't fully yes or no as they thought that it was going to be. So they're both claiming a win. It's important to note that more Democrats voted for this than Republicans. Republicans, particularly Kevin McCarthy, needed Democrats on board for this bill. A lot of Republicans rejected it, which was also a little bit to be expected. But at the end of the day, we avoided default, and that's what both parties are touting as a win.
Indeed. If we can talk a little bit about the Republican candidate race to be president, another person throwing their hat into the ring now.
Yeah, so this week we're actually expecting a couple more. You might remember a couple weeks ago, we finally got that bid from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He joins former President Donald Trump, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, as well as former Governor Asa Hutchinson. And now this week, we look like we're going to get former Vice President Mike Pence throwing his hat in the ring. You might remember that he was former President Donald Trump's running mate. So it seems like he's going to go up against the former president himself this time. And we're also expecting New Jersey's former Governor Chris Christie, as well as North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, to also throw their hats in the ring. So this continues to become a crowded Republican field, but that's usually how these things go.
Indeed. Does this still, I guess, benefit Donald Trump? Would he still be seen to be the front runner, even with these various other candidates coming in over the next few days?
You know, he still seems to have a very solid base, and that seems to, like, it's probably not necessarily going to move. However, you don't all necessarily know. We have a long time before the election. A lot of things can continue to happen. But it seems like Donald Trump is still at the forefront.
And just tell me a little bit about an NPR poll that has been done looking at education.
Yeah, so there was an NPR and Ipsos poll recently that, you know, seemed to reveal a couple thoughts about education. And the state of education is also one of the big issues that we're going to see this upcoming 2024 election. And, you know, ideas about school choice, ideas about what's taught in schools, what kids can read in schools, school board elections. These are all at the very local level. So we're talking like cities and school districts and states have been particularly contentious in some cases. So the poll found a couple different things. The first is that parents, teachers, and the general public kind of agree that educators are generally overworked and underpaid. So we found that 19% of teachers surveyed actually believe that they're paid fairly, and 93% say that they're asked to do too much for the pay that we receive. You know, we've seen schools at the forefront of a lot. We've seen schools at the forefront of a lot this the last few years, particularly looking at the march to protect students' rights, individual liberties, but as well as some of the various school shootings that we've seen. You know, we just reached the 1 year mark of that terrible shooting in Texas down in Uvalde, that of course happened at an elementary school. And so we've seen that teachers have come out, you know, raising concerns about their pay, about also how supported they are. Because it's more than just teaching in a classroom now. Some teachers are needing to worry about the safety of their schools. We also see that Americans say that they trust teachers to make classrooms decisions, but it's also a little bit complicated. And, you know, that kind of comes down to who's responsible for these decisions. And, you know, we do have the Department of Education, and we have different governing bodies that influence curricula and what's taught in schools. And so that kind of trickles down. And that's where you see some of the battles at the local ground about school choice, about those parents' ability to put their students in other schools, not just their local public school. So this is something that's going to continue to bubble. And it's definitely an issue that's going to be top of mind going into this next election.
Indeed. Thank you very much for the update there from the United States. That's our correspondent, Jimena Bustillo, an NPR politics reporter based in Washington.